Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. Last year, it was Ince Choi's play, Kim's Convenience, loosely based on the story of the prodigal son, that was the darling of the Toronto Fringe Festival. This year, Desperate Churchwives, loosely based on the biblical story of the prophet Hosea and his prostitute wife Gomer, was the critic's pick at the Hamilton Fringe Festival. Tonight's guest, Diane Johnston, wrote the play and played all six characters in the one-woman show, and she's on the phone with us tonight to talk about the play and its reception. But before we begin our conversation with Diane, let's listen to Radio Ghost Town from New World Song's latest CD, Rebel Transmission.
This is Radio Ghost Town. Salvation plan in stereo sound. This is a Rebel Transmission. Can anybody hear me now? Clever zombies hiding out in the open for all eyes to see. The resistance took a hit when our leader was nailed to a tree. But they couldn't kill him, so they're trying to tell us we're already free.
And now to our interview with playwright and actress Diane Johnstone. Good evening, Diane.
How are you?
Not bad. Now, let's go right back to the beginning. How did you get interested in being an actress?
You know, sometimes I say I blame it on my mom. As a babysitter, and I used to babysit kids, which was one of my fun things to do and a way to make a little cash, I would take them to see plays. I'm from Connecticut originally, and I got the privilege of going to the Westport Playhouse. And even before that, in school, in grade school, just from doing plays, I enjoyed that. And as a kid, my cousins and I would put shows on for our neighbors and friends. And also, I liked to do this thing they used to have with associate with McDonald's, like a muscular dystrophy campaign. And they would send you a kit. I'd apply for this kit every year and put on like carnival, pie throwing, and we'd have games, and then we'd do our little dancing and singing as well for the neighborhood kids.
So when did it get to the point where you realized that this is what you want to do as your career?
When I got tired of being a secretary and admin person, because going to school, that was a thing for me when I was coming up, was, be a secretary. I learned how to take shorthand. And so I got right in there and was a receptionist up to an administrative assistant, worked in a law office, and I thought, okay, and every holiday I want to be the one who was dressing up and making those holidays like bigger than what they were. So I realized, too, you know what, there's something missing here. I was always doing it on the side. If someone needed an assistant for their magic show, I would volunteer and do that. So I just always stayed in it. So, you know, I got to the point where I thought, you know what, you got to do what you really love. So I've been blessed with a husband allowing me to just go on and live out my dream.
Well, how much of a challenge was that to move from sort of the stability of you know, the day-to-day work that you would do as a secretary and admin person to doing, you know, arts and doing acting where, I mean, even for this interview, you were saying to me, when we were setting it up that, that you might have had another call and we might not have been able to do this because you might have had another job to go to. So how did you make that transition from that stability to what you're doing now?
Well, I, you know, there was a time when I was also conflicted with my faith, too, thinking, well, is this God? You know, should I be doing this? And what a better way to spread the gospel than on stage, TV, radio, movie. You know, we've got this medium that I believe the Lord has given to believers to spread the gospel. The difficulty came in with, one, trying to come to terms with, is this something that God called me to do? And financially, yeah, it was a struggle for a while because I'd leave and stuff full-time and figure out, okay, well, I'm just going to go into acting full-time. I've got an agent. I've got to be available for my agent. And that's what, you know, it was about. You know, I might have been on a call because I had a few auditions. I didn't book, but that's okay. You know, it's coming last week. So I'm open this week right now. But just not knowing, you know, where the next dollar is going to come in. When you get paid in this business, you get paid big, you know, if you're doing TV and film and things like that. Theater, it takes a little bit more time, but I do believe that when you do what the Lord has put inside of you to do, the money will come. You know, it might take a while, and thank goodness again, thank God that my husband and I have that balance where he has been able to carry us financially while things are growing on this end with me. So it was a bit of a challenge to try to mm-hmm. But I remember one day going to work one morning, one of the cars had broken, and my husband was taking me to work. I was doing a temporary assignment. And I was so exasperated from going to this assignment that I just, one tear fell. I thought, God, please, you've got to have something else for me to do. Like, I can do more. You know, I can act. I can write. I really don't want to go. And I dried that one tear because I didn't want to have to redo my makeup. And, you know, my husband and I had a talk about it. He goes, listen, just go into the acting full time because I wasn't happy. I mm-hmm. wasn't happy doing anything else. This makes me happy.
Right. Well, you mentioned writing in that, and you are doing playwriting. I mean, you wrote Desperate Church Wives. How did you get into that end of it as well?
Used to watch Whoopi Goldberg's one-woman show. I think it's called Fontaine, Why Am I Straight? And I would rent that thing. Why I don't have a copy, I got to get a copy of it. But I would rent it whenever I felt down, whenever I needed to laugh. And I kept saying, I want to do that, you know. And also from watching other actresses like Lily Tomlin, you know, Carol Burnett, Goldie Hawn, just some of these actresses that I thought, Lucy's my favorite. I love, mm-hmm. you know, the comedy there. But with Whoopi's show, the different characters that she did and the message behind it, I just thought, I'm going to do that one day. And being involved in other productions, I thought, well, why don't I write? So I took a stab at it and started writing. Desperate Church Wives is actually my fourth show that just took off. You know, it does take time. Sometimes mm-hmm. it happens for people right away, but, you know, sometimes it does take time.
Now, you mentioned Whoopi and as a potential, as an influence in that. Who have been some of your other influences?
Oh, I admire Angela Bassett's work and Tasha Smith. I got a chance to meet. I actually sought her out. She's a Hollywood actress who's been in a lot of Tyler Perry movies. And she's starring right now in For Better or For Worse, one of Tyler Perry's shows. But she also teaches acting, and I went to her New York workshop. And again in Atlanta and again in Miami, and she finally said, you know what, I think you need to teach my classes up in Toronto. And I was like, really? So we had a chat. I'm now teaching her acting classes too. So she's been a great inspiration. I've also gotten a chance to meet her best buddy, which is Angela Bassett. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, on the inside, screaming on the inside, but trying to be cool on the outside.
And she, her biggest role she was known for was playing Tina Turner in a biopic.
Yeah, I mean, just a wonderful, it was just like, oh my goodness, I'm actually sitting here with Angela Bassett. We were in New York, Tasha, at one of Tasha's workshops, and Angela came in and she was critiquing the students as well as I was sitting aside her critiquing the students as well. So God is faithful. You know, yeah. God is faithful.
Well, looking at the acting and looking at the playwriting, is there any one that you prefer? Like, do you prefer writing? Do you prefer the acting, or is it sort of like whichever you happen to be doing at the time?
Well, I'll say it like this. I like acting because I'm animated. I get a chance to express. Writing, I love, because I get a chance to say what I want to say. I get a chance to say what other people don't want to say, and I love doing that because I know a lot of times I'm like, you're thinking it, but I'm going to say it. And I've gotten in trouble over the years, thank God for forgiveness, for opening my mouth and saying things. You know, but the acting, to me, I just keep saying, you know, I get a great role. I'm hoping to get TV as well, my own TV show, executive produce it, and make some of these characters come alive. That will pay the bills, definitely, and then I'll have more time to write. If I had a chance, the opportunity to be in a room writing all day, that I would not like, because I do like to be out, but I like them. I like an equal balance of both, but I would take the acting on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get the acting, the money will come, and then I can write. So that's my plan there.
Okay. Well, what we need to do is take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to our guest, Diane Johnstone, and talk about her experiences at this year's Hamilton Fringe Festival. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Skies are always gray. It's been that kind of winter. You want to leave the north behind, but I've never been so happy. I'm in a summer state of mind. And on my darkest day, your light shined right in. And now I'm miles away from where I've gone and been. What else can I say about the state I'm in? People say I've changed. I came down, down from the mountain. Yeah, yeah. I see angels and devils surrounding us down here. We were born somewhere in between love and fear. Just like a compass needle, we spin from north to south. We see and hear no evil till it's coming from our mouth. And on my darkest day, your light shined right in. And now I'm miles away from where I've gone and been. What else can I say about the state I'm in? People say I've changed since I came down, down from the mountain.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Down from the Mountain from the Roots Revolution CD by New World Sun. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with actor and playwright Diane Johnstone. When did you decide you were going to produce Desperate Churchwives at this year's Hamilton Fringe Festival?
As soon as I finished the Toronto Fringe last year, I thought, you know what, I've got to put this up again, so we'll take it to the Hamilton Fringe. So I applied immediately. Like, I got on the computer to see what those deadlines were. And, you know, we had a great run in the Toronto Fringe, 4 stars and critics' picks. Out of about 9 shows, I think we had, 5 sold-out shows, which was a great feeling. So I got right on it and applied.
Well, looking at that, what were some of the logistics you had to go through to make sure that this actually became a reality in Hamilton?
Basically, it's the Hamilton Fringe is on a first-come, first-served basis, so I just wanted to make sure I got my application in there ahead of time, you know, before, you know, everybody else. I didn't want to be on a waiting list, so it was just a matter of downloading the application, filling it out, and having that check and sending it in. And I was excited when I got the, yes, you're in.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a one-woman show, you really don't have to worry a lot about set and things like that. It's just you and the stage?
Right, and I learned that from doing other Fringe shows. As I said, this is my 4th one. I've written 3 more before this, and it was always, because with the Fringe festivals, you have a certain amount of time to set up and tear down. It's usually between 10 and 15 minutes to set up and tear down. So you want to keep it simple. And things happen. You know, there are other shows that are coming in that are there before you, they're after you. Sometimes, you know, things may not work, equipment, things do happen. So if you keep your show about the acting,
mm-hmm.
about the writing, and if anything goes wrong with the light or anything goes wrong with the sound cue, or, your props, or you don't have enough time to bring things in, it's less things for you to worry about. You just get your message out there and make sure your acting is top-notch.
Well, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what Desperate Church Wives is all about?
Yeah, Desperate Church Wives is really a story about love. I took the story of Prophet Hosea and his harlot wife Gomer from the Old Testament in the book of Hosea, and I placed it in a setting of a church meeting, brought it up to date where we have Minister Hosea, whose wife Gomer, the Sunday school teacher, gets busted for prostitution. And I played 6 different characters. We've got the church congregation there, main characters of an elder, Grandma Word, a snooty, judgmental Clarissa, a saucy ex-stripper who's a part of the church as well, Pastor Hortense, female pastor, Minister Hosea and his wife Gomer. And basically, it's the church congregation, and the audience is well plays in as the congregation can give their amens and mm-hmm's as we go along and play. And we're just there going, wow, what are we going to do about this situation? You know, and people are giving their takes on, you know, what happened and should we let her in and how this happened. And we touch on subjects of adultery, abortion, and judgment, and keeping secrets, and forgiveness and love.
Now, how did that come together as a play for you? Like, how did you choose the Book of Hosea to use as the basis of a play and work through and create the characters that you created and the storyline that you did, that you came up with?
A lot of these characters are parts of me and people that I've met about 15 years ago. I worked in the sex industry as a stripper, and now as a born-again believer and an ordained reverend, I go, wow, you know, what about that group of people? Are we ministering to them? Are we reaching out to them? You know, people in the sex industry, they're shunned by society. You know, nobody wants to have anything to do with them. When I was working as a dancer, that's what I was doing. So, you know, the message is God loves us all. He may not like what we do, but he loves all of us. And I think that love is the attraction. You know, love is what heals. So I thought, as I'm sitting in church, I don't hear these stories about the Gomers, the Rahab. I don't hear them. And we want to spread the gospel to everybody. So how do we do that? We want everyone to know about God's love. How do we do it? And I think my husband was saying to me, he goes, you know, one day we were walking out of church and you said your next show is going to be, the title is going to be Desperate Church Wives. And that's what happened. I came up with the title first and then thought, okay, all right, yeah, let me look at this. And decide to take it and put it in a modern day setting.
Well, looking at that and looking at that kind of a show and the fact that it is based directly on Scripture, how did the audience itself react? Did you have a lot of people did sort of get word get around that this was a Christian production and you had a lot of church people coming, or was it just a typical fringe production where everybody everybody came who, you know, saw and read the critic stuff and said, hey, let's go see this. It's one of the hot shows.
You know what? That's what I think happened. And I mean, infringers to, you know, the shows, they just go out and see good shows. And it does help if you get a great review that come out and see it. I wasn't sure who was going to come out and see it. I wasn't sure if people were going to take to it or not.
And word of mouth often happens at a fringe as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I try to keep myself funny, you know. There's some things that are so painful that when we look at them and we talk about them, they could just be hard to swallow. That a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Well, you know, laughter is good like medicine, right?
Yep.
I I try to keep a lot of funny in it, and I like funny. I like funny, and I do, like I said, hit on some points, too. So I think we had a pretty good mixture. There were some people that did find me on Facebook or my website and or even after leaving the show and said, you know, wow, I know I'm going to invite all the women from my Bible study. I'm going to invite my church to come out and see it. I wasn't sure whether it was a satire. I know that it's not now. This was really good. It wasn't preachy, but it got to the point. You know, even some women that have worked with women that work in the sex industry said, you know, I think that they would be interested in coming to see this play, which touched me because I had, you know, from both sides of the fence, so to speak. You know, everyone seems to be from old to young. There are people laughing. I can see people that were crying at some points also. So it seems to just go over big, which, again, just made me go, wow, really? You're getting it, which is a delight.
Right. Well, we need to take one final break, and when we after we come back, we'll finish our conversation with playwright and actress Diane Johnstone. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Mysterious ways. Yep. Once upon a time, it was a mean old man.
Ooh-say-la, ooh-say-la.
Used to fall asleep beside a garbage can.
Ooh-say-la, ooh-say-la.
Then somebody said he met the holy dove.
Ooh-say-la.
Someone so filled with love. Imagine that. And mama says, say la, say la. Everybody lift their voice and raise a praise. Say la, say la. God, he always working in mysterious ways. She turned 10.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Selah from the Rebel Transmission CD by New World Sun. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Diane Johnstone. Diane, one of the things that came out of this was, and we were talking about it, is you were Critics' Choice. You got 4 stars for Desperate Church Wives. What was your own reaction when you started seeing all these accolades coming up?
It does take a while to sink in because when I'm doing the show, I don't read the reviews. My husband, God bless him, he'll read them, and I can usually tell by his face, you know, and he's like, I just want to tell you one thing, just one thing. I'm like, no, don't. I don't want to be moved either way. I want to stay committed to the work, and sometimes it's hard to do because, if it's great, you're like, okay, good, yeah, they're getting it, and if it's bad, you know, you can go to the other and like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I'm nuts. This sucks.
And especially something like a Fringe, which happens so quickly, and everything is happening, and you're trying to get the audiences and draw on your, you know, there's that temptation to say, should I pay attention and make a change if I need to?
Exactly, right, you know. So, I mean, and I'm working with myself, and if I have anybody to help me, you know, they can give me some pointers, and that's it, and I've just got to stay focused on the work and prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. I cannot stress that enough. You know, I can't do this without prayer. I can't do this without help from the Holy Ghost. So I don't read my reviews until I finish. And even though that last year when I did the Toronto Fringe and I got 4 stars in Critics' Picks, still just is sinking in like, oh my goodness, you've got 4 stars and critics pick. And this year with the reviews, you know, this show is a hit. You know, it talks about the truth, and it's not just funny, but it brings out the truth. And I'm like, wow, they're getting it. It humbles to see people stand up and give you a standing ovation at the Hamilton Fringe out of 7 shows, 5 times. People were standing up after every show. I'm like, really? You guys really like it that much? It's very, very humbling.
Well, now that the Fringe is over and you're sort of looking at things, what's happening next with Desperate Church Wives?
Well, we're bringing it back to Toronto this fall. I've got a bigger team to work with, and I would advise anybody who's in this business to go and get a grant from the Ontario Arts Council. So I did. I tried as soon as I finished the show in Toronto last year and did not get the grant, and tried again, applied again the beginning of the year and got the grant. So I'm able to hire people to help me now to spread the word more, to know how to promote the show better. So we're going to get a bigger venue in Toronto this fall and put the show up again.
Cool. And is there anything else on the way for you? Any of the plays or anything else you're working on?
I wrote a play a couple of years ago about Rahab called Save Who's House? And the way it reads, it's like he saved a whore's house. So maybe I can get that up. And again, I'm hoping that someone sees the show and wants to say, you know, help me get this on TV, because I think that the characters are great and people would love to hear from Grandma Word as she gives some of her wisdom and talks about some of her stories that she has to share with folks. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Well, where can people get more information about both what you're doing, keep on track with what's happening with you, or Desperate Church Wives?
My website is Diane Johnston, that's DianeJohnstone, with the number 1, DianeJohnston1.com. Also, you can follow me on Facebook, and there's an event page set up for Desperate Church Wives that will have ongoing information about what's going on with that.
Great. Diane, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Diane Johnstone. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.